Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We had a fun Wednesday show here. Josh Wolf returns.
What's up, guys?
Return of the Wolf.
Hey, can I ask about the commercial for the seltzer?
You sure can.
I like how you had hot as balls women and then just your normal regular day body dudes.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It looked like an advertisement for every sitcom I've ever seen. Yeah. It's just like, why is Kevin James married to the best looking woman you've ever seen?
Yeah, it's
that's
crazy.
What your commercial basically gives hope to everybody, us normal dudes.
Well, that guy fucks. You know that, right?
Which guy, Kevin James?
No, the guy in that Hardy episode. His name is Lasro Lopez.
He
works with us here. And we send him to the last row of every college football stadium in America. And then if you find him, he'll buy you a beer. But he doesn't want to sit in a row closer than the last row.
Yeah.
And so the first couple games we sent him out to, I believe it was Arkansas, he ended up getting a blowjob from a Waffle House waitress after the game.
Which is a very Tiger Woods move.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I think that's Perkins.
Oh, is it Perkins?
Perkins. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know on the level of better or worse, Perkins versus Waffle House.
Perkins is here, friends. Waffle House is down there. Yeah.
You think as far as the servers too?
Yeah. In Arkansas?
Okay.
You've been on the road.
Yeah, that's like a Shoney's.
We've been on the road. Yeah. That's a desperation move.
I assume there are more visible scars on Waffle House waitresses.
I think bullet hole is what is those.
Well,
that's the word.
Yeah. Knife wounds, C-sections, whatever. Right?
I think it was kind of both.
It's
there.
Like a strip club in Houston, basically.
It's like a daytime stripper.
And yeah, in Houston.
The daytime stripper. Yeah. Why in Houston? What is that specific?
Well, we did a mod show at Bucks Wild in Houston one time, and I got to tell you, it was rough.
Inside, we did it inside the strip club, live in the VIP section, and one of our listeners came in with $5,000 and won on a belt. So it was around him like a bandolier.
Like a suicide belt.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like a suicide belt.
Which it probably was, because he definitely got AIDS from fucking a stripper
in Houston. Middle of the show, we just see him fucking the stripper, and then we're interviewing all these ladies and everything else. Oh, yeah, dude. And so they just kept fucking, and there was probably, 100 of us in there?
Maybe. Something like that.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
I don't know.
Nobody cared.
By the time the crowd had filled out, I was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, public fucking not on my list of things that I ever wanted to do.
Really?
I don't know why. Like, my list is weird and extensive, and I like weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But public fucking has never been on my list. Anybody watching me fuck, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care about the watching part, but I need to clean up right after. You know what I mean? It's probably the autism. I can't deal with, like, dirty hands.
You can't live in it.
No.
Okay.
No, you can't fuck and then go to sleep?
And if I stay in bed, I'll fuck, like, multiple times in a row and not have a problem with that. But I can't see myself banging and then fucking just walking around without doing something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, by the way, a random stripper.
Yeah.
You're going to want to wash it up.
Oh, yeah. You're going to want to clean up down there.
You don't want to be walking around like in a dirty pair of clothes with a lollipop stuck to the side of your dick. You know what I mean?
By the way, my buddy had a bachelor party one night, and he was like, can we do it at your house? I'm like, yeah, we can do it at my house.
Oof.
And so these girls come over, and this girl puts a lollipop in her vagina and takes it out, and my buddy opens his mouth. And she put the lollipop in his mouth.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah.
And I was like, hey,
that?
So you got to kiss your wife in a couple hours.
Yeah.
What's the game plan?
Uh-huh. Penicillin.
Yeah. What's
penicillin?
You're drinking Clorox at that point.
Yeah. What is the game plan, dude?
But we all have one of those friends who shoved a ping pong ball or something inside of there, and they're like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they always volunteer first, and you're like, well, of course it's you.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Well, do you want to pull up that? So there's a video that that Rob pulled up 2 weeks ago when Dan Cummins was here of a guy putting his own finger in his dick hole. Do you want to watch that?
Have you seen that?
I haven't.
We're on YouTube today, by the way.
Oh, we are on YouTube today. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So wait a second. What's the, he was docking himself?
It's called sounding.
It's called sounding.
When you jam things into your own dick hole, it's called sounding.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why it's called sounding.
Because
sounding?
Well, yeah, sounding.
Bob, you looked it up one time. What is it?
It's because of the metal, right, Bob? Like, because it's usually like a metal rod.
That's how you test depth in the ocean. It's called sounding.
Correct.
But it's also the geographical feature, which
is
also
what we'll do, Josh, is show that to you on a side screen that's not on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you can watch along there and you can see
it. No free ads here. Even for the guests.
Even for fatchap.com. I don't want to see that.
Okay, so
see, this is a woman.
That's a well. Is she the one putting the tube in?
This is not a real dick.
Okay, so this is just she's showing
a demo.
Sorry, I'll find a real cock.
Okay, so
Bob, you're better than this.
Here's disappointing.
Here's the questions. Like, so say you end up in sounding.
Uh huh.
What's the jump off point? Do you know what I mean? How do you end up?
Wait, do you mean what's the next level?
How do you end up sounding?
Oh, well, like, I know that answer.
Where do you start?
Dan and I can tell you that answer.
Well, I think you're walking around one day and you've got a pencil in your hand and you slip and fall and it goes right in your dick hole and you're like, you know what? This ain't so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first of all, are you not wearing underwear or pants when you're walking around with a pencil?
No, I usually don't. I never have. When I was doing homework as a kid, I usually pulled those right off.
I don't wear.
I needed to feel the seat. I needed to feel it.
Yeah, I'm just, and so, okay.
So there you go.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
See how he's strapped down?
And he's where, that's a woman doing it.
Yeah, you have to tie his arms down or he's going to freak out. If you don't tie your arms down, your instinct is to do it.
Yeah. Now,
by the way, that dude's got some pretty good thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
I
wasn't looking at his thighs at all in that pic, but now that you mention it,
can't stop looking. He's got good quads. Yeah. This is fascinating.
To answer your question about walking around, so when I'm at home, I'm naked from the waist down, usually a long sleeve t-shirt and a gun belt with my gun, and that's it.
Yeah.
So if I fall and trip and fall, something's going in my dick hole.
Right, yeah. Almost. Whether it's a gun or something else.
Yeah, something's going in there. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, do you ever, do you two-gun it when you're naked?
No, I don't carry two weapons.
No.
I mean,
that's silly.
A handgun and a long gun, yeah, but not two handguns.
Well, usually
I'm not Yosemite Sam, dude. What the fuck? Yeah.
But you should be. You should be.
You could be.
Our fucking neighbor over there walks around like that, dude. The guy in the building out in public, in the car, everything else. Huge 10-gallon hat, the whole thing.
Beard?
No beard.
Mustache?
No. And that's how I know he's a fake Texan.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not a, like me, he's a real, I'm not a real Texan. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't real shit right here.
No.
I would have a lot to go, a lot of accoutrements to go with this whole shit.
This dude.
Real Texan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find him in the fucking woods, dude. He'll be in a helicopter blasting pigs out of the sky.
Are you wearing cowboy boots with no pants?
I don't own cows, so I don't wear cowboy boots. I think that's stolen valor, to be honest.
Yeah. Because you're stealing from the cowboys.
No cowboy boots, no cowboy hat. If I'm going to go out and tend to animals like that, maybe I would. If I'm going to ride a horse, that's what they're fucking made for. That's why the heels that way.
Let me ask you, okay, so now I'm going to push back on your cowboy hat thing just a little.
Good.
Well, I mean, if I'm at like Daytona Beach.
Because I wear a baseball hat, but I'm not playing baseball.
This is not a baseball hat. This hat existed before baseball.
Yeah. So that is a Terry Black's bar. Barbecue hat. Have you eaten there?
Yeah, so good.
This is actually so good, right? I went to Ohio State. I'm wearing an Ohio State hat.
Yeah.
Well, it says defund politicians. He hates politicians. So.
It's a trucker hat.
No
though,
stolen
Okay,
power.
But I'm not a trucker either.
Will you drive a truck? Well, you could.
That's a nickname.
That's something you could do.
Yeah.
Right?
Josh, you and your son on your show could easily drive cross country together over the top style.
That's a great idea.
And that would be a great challenge.
Picking up lot lizards.
Yes. That's a great idea. And over the top.
Yeah.
Stallone? Of course I do. Come on, dude.
So you guys start in, you would go to the East Coast so you could drive back to your house. Start on the East Coast, drive all the way back through the country, and then stop at every lot lizard spot you could. And then the challenge is
Need a lot lizard. I'm going to need the definition.
It's whores. Truck stop whores. Yep. Yeah. Oh. So wait, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
So you get all the way back. Then you both get tested. Whoever's got the most STDs loses.
Yep.
Then gets punished.
Correct. Then there's the punishment. And that's where that comes involved.
Yes or no.
And your wife has to be cool with it because it's part of your TV show.
Yeah.
That's the way around it.
I'm
an actor.
By the way, you guys, honestly, you pitch with such confidence that part of me was like, maybe I will try that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you should.
You get sponsored by penicillin.
You got to dream it to achieve it, Josh. You got to dream it to achieve it. My grandfather always said that.
I like the 100% confident pitch.
Yeah.
That is a good one. I like how you showed me that video.
Sounding. Yeah.
But like we all just watched it, like,
yeah. It's like it's a Wednesday.
What? But my question was, he about to come? Is that what happens?
Oh yeah, he ends up getting off at the end of that video.
Well, does it spray out around the metal? I got it. We'll have to check back in.
No, because she pulls the metal right before he's about to come, so like you can't do it with that in there. Obviously,
do you think it creates like a siphon where it pulls the cum out even faster?
I think it'd be
like, that could be dangerous.
It would be akin to taking a rolling pin to your sack and squeezing out every last ounce.
That's what I
feel that is. So that goes down in here. If you want to go to this camera, so you pound that down in here. Then all the eruption is down in there, and then boom.
Oh, so she might get
that ejaculate.
She might catch one of those things to the eye and separate her fucking brainstem from
take
her
out
spinal
a ceiling
column.
Fan blade.
I do. I think that's going to come out with such crazy velocity.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's going to be nasty. In that room.
I really like. There are a lot of different ways that I would like to come, but that doesn't seem like one of them.
No. Yeah. But it is almost a superpower if you can fucking.
You don't want this.
Pain guy at all?
No, here's the thing.
I'm not a pain guy at all.
There's a whole finger in there. So that's a whole finger that's about to go in.
See, now I'm just worried about sanitary.
Why? She looks...
Well, the fingernails are notoriously difficult to clean.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like she was eating Wild Wings beforehand.
Well, no, a lot of our...
They're clean.
Like a lemon pepper?
That one got me.
A lot of our porn friends have said, the female ones, like, you got to make sure the dude washes his hands and under his fingernails if he's going to put his hands inside you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this doesn't seem sanitary at all to me.
Well, she looks pretty clean. That's a two-handed hogwash right there.
Look at the floor in there. That's not a clean
The floor
person.
Is lava.
No, that's a trailer.
Is this the same dude?
No, these are different people. These are different people.
So all dudes are sounding like have good quads?
Yeah, you
I
have
guess,
to.
Yeah.
Is that part of the
deal? Think about it. If you're going to take that, you got to be able to brace for it, dude. You got to brace for
everybody's
it.
Everybody's got solid quads? Is that the sound?
It's like a fat kid coming up and sitting on Santa's lap, dude. You got to brace those quads before homeboy takes a seat.
Wow, there is a lot. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, sure is.
Okay.
Sure is. By the way, speaking of strippers, Denise Richards got shot yesterday.
I heard she got shot at.
That's what? A fun thing. Yeah, dude. Pull up the picture.
There was some road rage with her and her husband, right?
She's not a stripper.
Well, she used to be, I heard.
I think she was an actress.
So. Yeah. She was. But what did she do before that is the question.
She was married to Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, pop that up. So her husband's
there
driving at her set.
Yeah.
Guy was driving behind him trying to speed up and go around.
Oh, they knocked the L off of the Shelby.
Yeah, look at that. Boom.
Just kidding.
By the way, anger. When's the last time you were in LA? I don't live there anymore. I'm there like once a month now.
Saturday. I was there Saturday night.
Dude, am I wrong? The energy in that city right now is fucking crazy.
Oh, it's going to get worse too. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like there's the tension and the anger is palpable.
Mm-hmm.
When you, I
shorten it down as much as I can. So to put it in perspective, I coach my child's soccer team to another championship three-peat, obviously back-to-back, undefeated season.
Correct.
No big deal. I haven't lost in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Got on a flight at 3. My flight left on the very first flight I could get back to Austin was at 8:50 a.m. And I was home here by 2 o'clock. So, I mean, I wasn't even there a full 18 hours. And it was simply for an investor dinner, and that was it.
I'm thinking about scheduling trips where I just go there, commit crimes, and then leave.
You can.
It's almost like a crime vacation. At this point.
It's the purge.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's also really beautiful there. So it's like this is the way Gavin Newsom can save the state. LA, Oakland, San Francisco, all are fucking purge cities.
Yeah.
And then everywhere else, also a purge city. The whole state is a purge state. And then, you know, nobody's going to fuck around out in the Redwoods because you can get fucked up real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you, man, you get tricked because you wake up every morning and it's like, it's beautiful here.
Uh-huh.
It's like paradise. Yep.
Well, that's the call of the siren, right?
Yeah. And then you step outside and you're like, people want to murder each other everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be fine if you could carry the guns that you want.
You can't.
You cannot. Well, can't you can anything. if you're not a pussy, you can.
And we stayed in Marina Del Rey because the event that the people that I had to meet at this dinner was in Culver City.
Yeah.
And so it was on the sand right there, like on the beach. And it was a place that I used to live by. And when I checked in, he was like, forgive the noise. And I was like, oh, is something going on? Is there a party or something or whatever? And he's like, no, there's a bunch of homeless people out on the beach that live there now. And yeah. I was like, I opened up the thing. They had double bolted the sliding glass door. And there was maybe 40 homeless people with like shitty suitcases outside in the sand. Like it was a fucking Grateful Dead parking lot after the show.
Dude, if I was homeless, I would live in Santa Monica or Marina Del Rey. 100%.
Or San Diego.
Like no rain, nice weather, and a state that will feed you and provide things for you. Like it makes complete sense to me. The problem is that the people who live there pay exorbitant amount of taxes. Not like, why am I paying all of this? One of the reasons we left.
Yeah.
Why am I paying? I was paying a crazy amount of rent and I stepped over a homeless dude sleeping on the sidewalk in front of my place.
Yeah.
And I remember walking into my wife. I'm like, we're getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not paying for this shit.
No.
What the fuck are we doing here?
It's crazy.
And you're the bad guy. I'm trapped between this. Look, man, I'm an empathetic dude. Mm-hmm. I really am. So the human part of me is like, I want them to live lives, if they can, that are as fulfilling or as happy as they can be. There's mental illness, whatever. But also at the same time, I get to live my fucking life too. And why am I the person who has to make all of the allowances? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the old adage, you're right to swing your fist ends at my face, right?
Yes.
That you have to accept some level of personal responsibility. Otherwise, to me, you're just food.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
For the dogs or from anybody else.
Right.
Like let's start grinding homeless people up. And then maybe add a little fiber to it because there's not a lot of fiber in the average person. Because you don't want the dogs getting all backed up.
Right.
You don't want them getting colon cancer.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. That's bad.
So add some wood pulp like they do with the fucking hamburger buns and then you're on your way.
Hey, Bob, our liquor lawyers here, will you let her in? Anybody can come in here and watch the goddamn show. Hi, Rachel. You're texting me on it. You're right there, dude. Come on over and sit, dude. Have some seltzer. Enjoy yourself. My God, we're live on air.
Yeah.
I love you. Come on in. Josh Wolf is here, damn it. Have a seat.
Listen, dude.
We're grinding up homeless people and feeding them to dogs today.
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to be on camera for
and
this.
Horses.
And horses, too.
And whatever else. Eat them, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want it. Yeah, you want to spread the wealth.
Sure, I'm not going to eat it.
Okay. Would you eat it? Would you wash up and eat a homeless lady?
No.
What do you mean, eat her pussy?
Well, no.
Oh, you mean like cannibalize?
Either one. Yeah. I mean, but if it was ground up, like most of these Texas meat shops here can ground up anything.
Yeah.
What if you didn't know?
Well, listen, dude. What I don't know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You've definitely eaten dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've eaten at a Chinese restaurant
or Vietnamese or Mexican. Like the Mexican place down the street from my dad's auto body shop that I grew up working as a child got shut down when I was like 17 for serving dog meat. So I've probably eaten 1,000 dogs at this point.
And I'm going to tell you something right now.
And it tastes fucking great.
For real?
I don't give a shit.
Me neither.
100% for real. When I go into a Chinese restaurant, I don't want it to be this clean. I want it to look like the opening scene of Gremlins.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Misty, dark restaurant where you're like, and there's like a there's like an 8-year-old doing his math homework in front of the cash register.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, dude. I want to be like, this is either going to be the best food I've ever had, or I'm going to have explosive diarrhea for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is what I want my Chinese restaurant.
The chef has a bandage somewhere on his body. 100%,
dude.
A visible bandage.
Can I tell you guys?
Ming Hao! That's all I want to hear in the restaurant.
Yeah, dude, and I want the like an old Asian grandmother just screaming at the kid to do his homework.
Yes.
Can I tell you the grossest thing that ever happened at a restaurant? Okay. So
it can't be worse than watching this lady put a finger down a dude's dick.
Okay, so. You ready for this?
Let's okay, yeah.
My sister-in-law's rehearsal dinner, and so it's the night for her wedding. My brother-in-law had just gone through some crazy autoimmune shit, and so he had to strip down to eating nothing and build it up one at a time to see what he could start eating.
Okay.
This is the first weekend he's going to let loose a little bit with some food. My man loves calamari. It's his fucking. And he was like,
it's one of my go-tos too. Top five app.
Yeah. He's like, I haven't had calamari in a year. I'm so looking forward to this. We're on Catalina. He said, this food's going to be great.
Yeah.
He orders the calamari and he's eating it and he's eating it. And he's chewing and he's chewing. And he's like, what the fuck? And he reaches in his mouth a Band-Aid.
Oh!
A Band-Aid had been fried up.
Any blood on the Band-Aid?
Listen, dude.
Well, if it had been fried, it doesn't matter.
It's still in your brain the grossest thing you've ever... A Band-Aid fell off this dude's finger.
Yeah. Oh,
and he was chewing it. Yeah. But what made it even better was this dude hadn't had something he'd like to eat in a year.
Yeah, that sucks.
This is his first plate of food. And he pulls out a Band-Aid. First of all, I told my sister, I'm like, you could own this restaurant. Like, go in there. You're not paying for anything. She was like, no, it's too embarrassing. I don't want the rest of the guests to know. I'm like, you're going to pay for the Band-Aid?
Yeah.
She was too embarrassed. She didn't want it. She was like, I don't want people to get it. I was like,
I'm like that too. I won't send anything back. Fuck. I'll just kind of like,
I'd send a Band-Aid back.
Because I know if I send it back, have you worked like in a kitchen at all?
I want to tell you, dude, it's the only, if you count comedy as food and beverage, it's the only industry I've ever been in.
Okay. So if you send a dish back, it's coming back more fucked up than it came to your table.
Yes.
So I don't do it.
Unless.
I'll just order something else.
Unless. So our rule was, if it was our fault, we're going to fix it up for you. So if you sent back a Band-Aid, I'd have been like, hey, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
I was wondering where that went. But if you're like, I was wondering where that went.
But if it's like, there's not enough pepper on my salad, you're like, hey, you know what? There's going to be some fucking weird shit.
There's going to be some salt. So here we go. Yeah.
I'll give a fucking, Olive Garden for the waiter, I'll give him the tricep workout of his life with the Parmesan grater. Like, let's go.
Yeah, but at that point, the food's already on the table at that point. There's only so much he can do about it.
But you can tell the dude, he's definitely
he's cracking pepper.
Himself.
That's a guy, I mean, that's almost like a pickup kind of situation where you see him cracking it that good. You're like, look, why don't you come home with me?
Yeah, listen. Yeah. Dude, are you with sticking your finger in my pee-hole?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of Chianti in my house.
Have you heard of sounding?
Yeah.
Because I've got a pen and I've got a penis.
You know, a lot of that.
I've got a pen.
And I've got a penis. I want this in there.
A lot of the calamari, the rings, are actually pig assholes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the anus of a pig.
You've never run into this before?
Now thinking about it, I probably have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely have.
It's delightful.
It was a huge thing back then.
It's delightful. Yeah. I'll eat 12, 15 pig assholes right now.
We eat fucking hot dogs. It's pig intestines. Yeah. What's the difference?
I haven't had a hot dog in a minute.
It's just a little farther down the fucking chute, I guess.
It sure is.
And I like to eat ass, so look, I'm not into bestiality.
I would tell you, I was late to the eat ass game.
Really?
But you're not fucking late, but, you know, you got
I'm
there.
I'm here.
You're there.
Yeah.
I'm on the field. But I was late to it. And I'll tell you why I was late to it. Okay. Here was my theory. Because, like, and I have worked in a kitchen. And this is why I came down to it. So I worked in a kitchen. I worked in an Italian restaurant where you would wash a dish that had spaghetti and garlic on it. And even when you washed it, when you smelled the dish, you're like, yeah, there was garlic on there.
Yep.
The same thing.
Same thing with an asshole. Yeah, is what you're
except
saying.
It's
yeah,
shit.
It's still shit. But
yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't get past the mental hurdle. No matter how many times you clean it, there's still shit in there.
But tannins and bacteria are not the same thing, right?
Okay.
We're talking about the physical universe. Tannins are the proteins that give things smell.
But you go back to, it's just like you said, I know in my brain mm-hmm. that once the Band-Aid goes in the fryer, everything's probably dead.
Sure, yeah.
But it's the mental of putting somebody, right? So for me, it was the mental of the, it's hard for me to get rid of the smell.
Yeah, I understand.
Do you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm past it
and
now.
And it's, you know, the hippocampus is tied, your memory center is tied very deeply with your sense of smell.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, right? Your olfactory sense. But I've shared food with a dog in a rack. So it's going to be tough to get me on something.
Did the dog eat first, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
well, we took turns.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, guys, I'm having a hard time holding this in.
Yeah, let's get to it.
I have to...
Because you texted me about it at like fucking 9 this morning.
You said you had the craziest fucking story of all time last night.
Something that challenged your hold on reality, which I think for a guy like you that's kind of into psychedelic, that's a pretty interesting thing to say.
And you were on mushrooms, right, to start this story?
Okay, so let's just start. But
sure.
Not like... My normal...
Not a heroic dose, yeah.
Yeah, 1.5 to 2 grams.
That's a normal...
Yeah, you're being a
go
hero.
Out and, that's a normal go out in public kind of situation.
And I want to tell you something else. And so I'm going to try to keep it together because I want to tell you the emotion that came out with this last night was like, okay. So, and you know, 1.5 to 2 grams is not like... I'm not on a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a very practical dude. I'm not a guy who believes in a lot of, the spirit world or like, mm-hmm. That's not where I'm based. I had kids young. I've got 2 feet on the fucking ground. I'm a based in reality dude. All right. So last night, I'm in my bed and I'm just sitting there.
Hotel. Okay.
And I've just, for whatever reason, what I've been doing with my mushrooms lately, especially at that dose, is I go in now and I do them by myself in my room with the intent to better myself. Because I really feel like mushrooms can do that. So much about from psychedelics really is setting intent, right? So the intent of going in is always to somehow better myself. So I'm sitting there and I just couldn't shake this really dark feeling. So I said to myself out loud, I go, hey, if there's something in me following me, around me, I don't want you anymore. I don't need you anymore. And I could feel myself getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't need you anymore. And I could feel my... When I tell you I had this argument with myself, I'm not going to lie. Something came out of me last night.
Emotionally or physically?
Dude, fucking... Okay. There were noises coming out of my mouth. Deep guttural that I can't make. I have a kind of a high pitched there was a point in time last night where I was screaming it, get the fuck. I could feel something trying to purge out of my body. My whole existence was shaking, dude. I looked in the mirror at one point. You know that thing you see in the fucking movies where your face kind of
like a circus mirror.
Well, it's like Neo when he touches the mirror and it fucking starts distorting.
Yeah,
in the first
Matrix
movie. It's really fun.
When I tell you I could see, I could feel it. It's impossible for me to explain this.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel this anger and this fucking whatever coming out of my hands. I could feel it traveling down my arms. And this is when I was like, oh, you're high, dude, you're high. But I was screaming at it, screaming, I don't need you anymore. I was trying to shake it. I was doing this.
How loud were you screaming?
Dude,
Like, for real screaming, like, to the point where people would come up or knock on the door.
Dude, I can't explain to you. And this is why, at first, I was like, okay, dude, you're fucked up. You're high. This has been a weird experience. I felt lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. And I went to sleep. And maybe half an hour later, it was almost like I could feel it come back in. I woke up out of my sleep. Screaming again, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Weeping, like, in a way, guttural. And when I finally felt it, dude, I was saying things. I've never said these words in my life. Mm. I was saying things out loud. I rebuke you.
Mm-hmm.
These words don't come out of my mouth. I'm not in the 1950s Exorcist movie.
No.
I've never said anything like that.
I've never said the word rebuke.
Me neither. And I shot up out of bed in the middle of sleep. I told you I don't want you. I don't need you. I'm crying. When I finally felt like it was gone, I just was weeping. And all I was saying out loud was, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was the most surreal. I don't believe in that stuff. Possessed or...
Well, you don't know what happened. So there's not anything to believe in or not believe in yet,
I can tell you, because I'm not articulating it, mm-hmm. because it's still so fresh.
Sure.
And I'm honestly trying to hold my emotions because it was so life-changing to me. But you'll never convince me. I know what I felt. I know what I saw. Mm-hmm. I know when I looked in the mirror. I'm cognizant. I take that mm-hmm. amount... once a week.
Sure, yeah.
So this is not I'm tripping balls. This is not, yeah. I know my drugs.
Yeah.
I know something came out of me last night.
Well, do you feel better today?
Lighter.
Okay.
It's not like my health is better. Mm. It's not like, but I feel so much lighter. I don't know how else to explain mm-hmm. it. I feel so much lighter. And I'm looking because my brain, which is a practical, logical brain, I'm just looking for an explanation. That's all I want.
Sure, yeah.
Because I don't want the explanation to be what I felt last night, which is, what was that?
Yeah.
I'm a dude who's like, I believe in science. I believe in this. Show me the X's and O's.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So something like this freaks me the fuck out. And I'm still so thrown because it has changed what I thought was possible or real mm-hmm. or all those stories about people.
So does it make you want to do more immediately to try to recapture that feeling or no? Are you going to lay off for the mushrooms for a little bit?
Oh, no, I'm no quitter. but your boy's not a pussy.
Yeah, that's
I rebuke you. I rebuke you.
Can we get
that's
some
coming, dude.
But I
in the chat, can we get some I rebuke you t-shirts?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
With his fucking face on.
And dude. Just fingertips outstretched. I rebuke
can
you.
Can I tell you something? There was a point in time where last night, this is so fucking, this is the craziest part to me. I went like this, okay? Because I was like, what is happening to me? My fingernails were sharp on my forehead. I don't have sharp fingernails.
Hey, Josh, hang on for a sec. I'm going to grab a drink here.
Yeah.
Didn't think I was going to today, but now I am.
Yeah. But so you were saying that you may have, like, you're a very practical, logical dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what happened was...
Besides the mushrooms.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was thetans, right? You became a Scientologist last night.
Yeah, sure did. Is Danny Masterson innocent or is he guilty?
He's a little busy right now. No, what it is it's I can't remember the exact phrase for it, but it's suppressed... grief of some sort, whether it's guilt or stress or anger or something like that, it becomes personified. It's why therapists will have you recount something, exposure therapy. They'll have you, it's cognitive behavioral therapy. They'll mm-hmm. have you talk about all the stuff you did and then write it down and then ball the piece of paper up and throw it into the garbage, right? It's catharsis. That's the principle.
So,
but there's something physiological at play there. Certainly.
So what you're saying, and I actually would subscribe to this, is I'm putting a, whatever, for lack of a better word, entity, demon, devil, on something that really is, at the heart of it, guilt or something that I do want to purge myself of.
Yep. It's personification. Yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, that relief you felt is temporary unless you discover what it was you were personifying. So you've got to, like, you're just at the beginning now. Now you have to figure out what it is that was weighing you down and then actually address the problem. This part was just a wake-up call to show you what the fucking, like, that there is a problem. Yeah. That's just the fire alarm going off. Now you got to go find the smoke.
Yeah, because I will tell you, last night, what I was screaming loud.
Yeah.
I was like, I felt awake for the first time in a long time. And I was screaming at it like it was something. I was screaming, I'm awake now.
No.
I'm ready to fucking fight. But like in my room, standing up, yelling at whatever the fuck I thought that was. And dude, like if you had told me the story, we switched seats.
Sure.
I'd be looking at you like, this dude is out of his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there, so I know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. I like that's
Dan does this every night.
Yeah. Well, not every night.
I mean,
but like,
yeah,
it's visceral. It feels so real.
Well, for somebody like you that doesn't subscribe to the supernatural, it seems way more visceral. Like if a religious person had this experience,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been as big a deal to them because they've been conditioned to experience that, and you haven't.
No.
Right. But the reality is that irreligious people that aren't religious, and people from every religion have this exact same experience, and the people inside of religions will ascribe it to their God or whatever the fuck. But in reality, it is something that happens to us psychologically and physiologically.
Can I ask you this then? Do you think, because there is a 100% chance that the noises that were coming out of my mouth have never come out before. Do you feel like that was just the guttural, the depths of which it was coming up from, that I was just experiencing an emotion or an energy that I had just never been exposed to before? Like that, those deep guttural noises, that really freaked me the fuck out, because if I tried right now, I could not make those noises that came out of my mouth last night.
Well, have you ever seen somebody wailing with grief before that you thought that you'd never seen doing that before? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like somebody who just lost their kid or something, the noises they make, it's not pleasant. I've heard it quite a bit. It's not great.
You ever see somebody get killed in one of those TMZ videos or World Star Hip Hop?
Yeah.
And then you hear the screaming that's not who they are.
Right.
And you're like, oh shit. Well, I mean, it's undescribable grief at that moment, but you can't pre-plan it. So.
Yeah.
It's not pre-planned and you weren't ready for it. And then it happened. And then all of a sudden, whatever was inside of you came out.
I made a video last night that I haven't watched yet.
On your phone? Yourself doing it?
No, afterwards. Just to be like, because honestly, this is where my mind was going. I was freaking out. I needed to tell somebody what happened.
Yeah.
But it was 3 a.m.
Too early.
Yeah, if you call your wife, is she pissed at you at this point?
By the way, can I tell you something? This is how old I am. This is how old I am. This is the difference, right? If I had been 20, I could call someone at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But when you're 50 and you call someone at 3 a.m, they think something's wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, somebody died. You know, it's an age thing. Like at 20, you're like, what's up, bro? Yeah. At 50, you're like, what's wrong? Yeah. So I didn't want to freak anybody out. So I made a video trying to explain what just happened. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked yet, but I can't wait.
Yeah.
Because I was in it. I was like 100% in it at the time.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll look at it after the podcast.
For sure. We can pop it up live too. We've got the capability.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, let's. Because he says the N-word a bunch in the video.
Yeah.
So. It's just like a long string.
It's like Hulk Hogan.
That's
after
what he was
having
trying.
Just like, all right. Shit.
I don't know what this has to do with what you experienced last night. That seems like a weird.
It sounds like you want slavery back. So sounds like.
Yeah, that's a weird excuse for that.
The South will rise again. Yeah, you just keep screaming, and you're like, whoa, weird.
Have you done Ibogaine or ayahuasca or any of that shit?
I haven't.
So, because what you're describing is very similar to a deep Ibogaine or ayahuasca trip. Like, you'll navigate. I mean, it's even worse than what you experience. You'll navigate the theater of your mind. And it's like that old shitty Marine Corps recruiting commercial where they're fighting the big giant or whatever the fuck. But it's an effigy for the issue that you're dealing with. You know what I mean?
That, I will say, this is way more logical.
Mm-hmm.
It makes way more sense because I am a dude who has always just pushed things down. So to feel that stuff really being done, like, it felt like it came from the bottom of my fucking
soul. Maybe it's just like your gaslight coming on in your car, but the reverse, right? Like, instead of being empty, you're full. You need to
It's a maintenance check.
Unload on somebody.
That it was like the amount of just guttural crying that I did last night, and I can't remember the last time.
Sure. It's a tea kettle whistling, right?
Yeah.
But is there something in your life right now that you're angry or stressed about, like one particular thing that is making you boil?
Aside from slavery not being a thing anymore.
Exactly. Because we're not getting that back.
Yeah, we're not. It's not, unfortunately.
Sorry, Josh.
I love how you guys just assigned that to me.
Yeah, look, we didn't say it. It was,
it was a lot of you, my friends. And I hope we go back to your hotel room. Yeah. All the eye holes are cut out of the pillowcases. And it's like, hey, Josh, something you want to tell us? Or?
No, because honestly, and this is, now that you're saying this the wheels are turning, this is actually a point in my life I've never felt professionally or personally better in my entire life. I've also never been more open in general. And I think maybe that could be why it's almost like I'm allowing it to come up now.
Yeah.
Because I like right now in my life, man, I'm in such a, I decided actually because of mushrooms a couple months ago, maybe. Okay. I've always looked at my stand up as a puzzle. Right. And so I'm not scared to try things because I don't look at things on stage as success and failure. I look at it as, oh, if I was doing a puzzle and a piece didn't fit, that's not a failure. I'm just going to try and find another piece.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always looked at comedy, which has kept me pretty fearless.
Josh, you've been on the show a bunch of times. You know, we got some sponsors that put the shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Get that bundle package, dog. Ding, 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 ding. It's Christmas time. Get your loved one a nice bed. Plus, it's nice for you as well. Let's be honest. You're buying a gift for her, but it's also for you. And I think that's a nice thing. Notice I'm not saying women. We have a 96% male demographic on this goddamn show. I'm not going to cater to those hoes. Kidding, ladies. I'm kidding. But if you want to guilt your man into getting a nice bed, it's great for you too. Get a split king if you want. If he sucks, if he snores, whatever, on that adjustable base, you can go up on your side, down on his if you want to. You control the nights with the adjustable base. And right now, you're getting 40% off when you pair that up with a mattress right now. If you want the ghost pillows, I highly recommend getting the mattress because you get two free luxury pillows together with the mattress. And that's 30% off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. While you're using that promo code, stock up the cart as high as it'll go. Get the sheets, get the weighted blanket, get the cover in case you're doing some butt stuff, and peruse the entire catalog at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Whatever you put in there, pop in the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout and get 30% off. Now, when you check out at the bottom of the page, you're going to see a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credits. And when you check that box, all the deals are still applicable with that. You can walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for about $25 a month. Head on over to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Do it right. And since you're on that mattress, then you might as well head over to adamandeve.com. Because you know you might need some extra play toys in the bedroom. I'm just saying. I don't know what goes on at home. I don't know what kind of hours you're working. You know, if you're laying pipe out in the oil fields, you got to come home and lay that pipe in the bedroom. But let's say you're too tired. Go ahead and get a vibrator for your ladies. Get whatever you want. Let's say you come home. She's not ready to do anything. Get a fucking sex doll. Yeah, they got goddamn sex dolls on the websites. The only problem here with AdamandEve.com is you get one deal. Just one. You get 50% off one item in the store and free shipping. So choose wisely. The problem with AdamandEve.com is it's like the Cheesecake Factory menu where there's a million items and you don't really know what to pick. Choose wisely. Head on over to AdamandEve.com today. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros, DRINKINBROS. And it's an exclusive offer specific for our podcast. So support our show. Use promo code Drinkin' Bros, and you'll not just get the 50% off, but you'll get 100% free shipping. One item. Choose carefully. Choose wisely. Damn it. Or choose with your lover, man or woman. I don't really give a shit. I don't care what your fucking preference is, dude. You want to plug a dude? Plug a dude. Two girls want to get together and get those two fists? They sell those too. It's one of those rare companies that gives you a little bit of everything or all the things. Next up, we got buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. You're going to use the code EARLYBF on this one. That is EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide. That's 20% off any Raycon product, which almost never happens there. Usually it's 10 or 15. Now it's 20. Use code EARLYBF to save even bigger. Or you can get 30% off Raycon's exclusive holiday bundles just in time for Christmas season. We talk about these guys all the time. I love them. Use them in every part of the whole fucking house, essentially. Kids are making noise. Kids are sleeping. Got the earbuds in. Out for a jog at the gym. They're amazing. Even if I'm writing late at night, dude, I use the big dogs, dude, and wrap them around my head. And I'm a huge fan of these guys. If you haven't started shopping for the holidays, why not? All right. You got to get these gifts in advance. You got to beat the December crowds there. So when you're looking for a gift of everyone in your family, a stocking stuffer, not a candle for once, Raycons are the way to go. Their wireless earbuds, headphones, speakers offer premium sounds, useful features, and they're almost custom, comfortable fits, and they're up to 54 hours of battery life. As a person gifting them, you're going to love that they're half price. So you look at fucking Bose or Beats by Dr. Dre and all that fucking bullshit, you're going to spend like $300, $350 on those fucking things. Not here. Almost everything they have in their catalog is under $100. I've got three sets of headphones. None of them have come above like $70, dude. And they're amazing. They last for fucking ever, dude. Raycons are sleek, stylish, and they come in a range of colors to match anyone's style. You can find Raycons in store now, like Kohl's or Walmart and all that shit. And I'm sure you're seeing them, but you can't get a discount. So you got to go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. Raycon also offers buy now, pay later options. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. Use the code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide. That is 20% off any Raycon product, which almost never happens, or save even bigger and get 30% off Raycon's exclusive holiday bundles. That's code EARLYBF at buyraycon.com/drinkingbros for 20% off your Raycon purchase. buyraycon.com/drinkingbros.
Mushrooms one night was like, hey, take that same idea and put it towards your life. And since I've done that, and so I've stopped looking at things as success and failure, and just I just need to find a different piece to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, my life is like, there's no the roller coaster because I'm not assigning value to every little fucking thing.
Well, why
in my
would
life.
You? Right? I mean, it's never as good or as bad as it seems.
And
I mean?
It's life.
Yeah,
life is part of this and this.
That's what I tell people.
But you don't assign it.
Like you can't control the outcome of things. You can only control your attitude and effort.
Yeah, you know and I'll be honest with you, man. I think you're doing some of the best work of your life right now. I was watching your show, Family Tussle.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan.
Thanks, dude.
And, dude, I ended up gunning through all of those like it was a fucking Netflix series. And I was like, holy shit.
You know what? Aside from just the production quality and the idea, which is really funny, and your and the execution, your kid is getting a lot funnier.
Yes.
I remember him so you and he have been doing shit on YouTube for a while now, a couple, like 4 years, maybe, something like that. He's actually getting really funny.
Well, he's
now
gaining confidence.
Yeah, that's what it really is. Yep. Yeah,
because
he's talking a lot of shit now.
He is, and I will tell you something. My big concern about the series was when we were doing the punishments. I knew he was going to have to commit in order for them to work.
Yeah,
dude, he is all in.
Yeah,
he is so good. The punishment this week, where I set him on Ventura Boulevard. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
With the sign. Where
he said, I have herpes.
Ask me for tips about living with herpes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Well,
and then a couple of dudes came up and had like legit conversations. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, dude, what the fuck?
That's LA.
Yeah.
It's LA.
It was great.
Under no circumstances would I do that. I don't care if it's like I've got a hangnail. I'm not talking to you about that.
I've got to ask you about one of them, though. Was it at the end of the boxing one where you had to get a tattoo?
Yes.
Okay, so up Family Tussle and then skip to the end of this tattoo, because I want to know if this still exists and what your wife said at the end of it.
Wait, is it like a tramp stamp or something?
We can show
It's on my shoulder.
I didn't see this one.
Yeah. It's on his. It's on the back there, so he couldn't see it. It was getting tattooed.
Yeah.
And
it can't
I
be worse
laughing.
Than the one that Sal Vulcano had to get of Jaden Smith on his thigh. Right? Is it worse than that?
This is pretty bad.
It's pretty. I mean,
is it because of
what it says?
Yeah, it's at the very end of the episode.
Yeah, to the end there. Go past the ads. I mean, you know, obviously they're ads for Josh.
Is it more about monetizing the white nationalism stuff or whatever?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. You nailed it.
Just like a cross on fire.
It's slavery at the end. So go. Keep scrolling.
It's about to cut to it.
Right now.
Well, just find
okay, great.
Picture.
Yeah, play. You can play.
I have it queued up.
All right, mention those abs if you want.
There you go. Look at the abs. My God, you're shredded. Look at you. You turn it up.
All right.
Give it a little
at the T-Man Tattoo Studio in Studio City, and Jacob has picked a tattoo for this punishment. I think I'm not going to show you until it's done. So I'm a control dude, and I figured I'd be able to okay tattoo. Why don't you hop in that chair?
Oh, me too, dude.
Oh boy.
It's not good.
Oh, it looks pretty.
Hey, somebody can tell me what that says.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I guess. Get the fuck out of here. Does that say Jacob is my biological dad? Next time I take my shirt off
for
my mom.
It's the word biological. So he is now your biological father.
That's right. That's on my back.
Yeah.
Why would he even think to do that?
Because he's funny.
Yeah.
Look,
he knew how to get you. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The difference between my punishments and his. Right. So his punishments, he hates being embarrassed in public.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been humiliating him in public.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff doesn't bother me. Like if you had me doing the things that I have him doing, I'd be having fun with it. But he made me get a Brazilian wax.
Oh, that's right. Holy shit.
I got my butthole waxed. Can I tell you, I told
So I was shocked because I was like, all right, great. They'll do the Brazilian and that'll be it. And then I was like, oh no, you turned over.
Yeah.
You turned over and they got your asshole.
Yeah, can I tell you, I told the esthetician, right, after he waxed it, I said to him, I go, hey, I don't want to brag.
Mm.
And he goes, yeah. I go, but I think I got a pretty tough butthole. And he was like, what do you mean? I go, that didn't hurt.
Really?
I go, I don't want to compare buttholes, but do most people wince? Because I feel like, and he was like, nobody's ever asked if they had a tough butthole. But I feel like my butthole is pretty tough. I will say that the butthole didn't hurt. The mound part?
Yep. The sides of the thighs probably got you. The butthole, you've probably been pounded there numerous times, right?
Well, I mean, listen, it takes a daily beating.
And sometimes
you know what I mean?
sometimes to be that thin, it's a TB12 diet, friends.
That's sometimes you walk around the house, no pants, gun belt, and you trip and fall. And
that's right.
Right?
Boom, pencil goes in your asshole.
Yeah. Well, it's not a pencil.
Yeah.
It's bigger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be bigger in the butthole?
What do you mean? Because your butthole's bigger than your dickhole.
Yeah, but does your butthole know where to find the bigger?
You know, I think the good Lord just takes care
of it. Yeah, love finds a way.
You know?
Love finds a way.
I like how the fact that just at your house, you just have a lot of phallic-looking things on the ground.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's when you fall.
It was like that when I moved in. I don't know what happened.
Is that dildo still on the door back there?
Yeah. It is.
Well, okay. That's technically a door handle. That's not a dildo.
Gotcha.
It's only a dildo if you're using it as a dildo.
Right now,
it's a dick-shaped door handle.
If you can get whatever hole you want up that high, you deserve that dildo.
I agree.
You deserve that. Is a six-foot-high dildo.
That's a good point, actually.
It's one of our advertisers, actually. AdamandEve.com.
By the way, six-foot-high dildo is not a terrible name for a band.
No, that'd be a good fucking punk band.
Yeah, six-foot-high dildo?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what was your favorite episode for Tussle? And can I tell you what the best part is? Mm. It is, well, you mentioned it with Jakey, is like one of the reasons to be able to spend this bonus time with him.
Yeah.
When you get to be a certain age, you realize, I'm going to see my kids 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
This bonus time is like, I think it comes across on the screen how much fun we're having.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's easily, you know why it's the best thing I've ever done, dude? Because I took it to some networks who were like, hey, this is why it won't work, or this is what you need to do to make it funnier, or you can't say things like this. And I was like, fuck. This was my final lesson that I don't need those people.
Mm. Right.
They are not my gatekeepers. And why are those non-funny people trying to tell me what the fucking funny part is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, especially since all their networks are fucking failing right now.
All of them.
My YouTube channel gets more views than their networks.
Yes. Head of CBS just stepped down about an hour ago. So, no.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Everybody is, dude. I mean, look at the late night shows. They're all gone. Corden's gone. Ellen's gone.
Do you think they'll replace Corden with anything?
No. Here's the thing. The ratings don't make enough sense.
One of those canned hams is going to put a pair of sunglasses on it.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's about as funny as he is.
I think late night TV is completely dead and over with in 5 years because of how big podcasts have gotten. And if I'm YouTube, I step in and have youtube.com/podcasts and then have just a whole after dark thing for shows like us and Tim Dillon and all those guys. And monetize that, because that's the shit people really want to see. I think the canned, cold open, and then the 8-minute interviews that are scripted and all that shit is done.
You know what Fallon does, though? And he's kind of bridging the gap a little. He's made his show more clippable than like Colbert with the games and shit like that.
Well, that's what Corden had to do as well with Carpool Karaoke.
Right. Which was the only thing people watched in that show, I think.
That's it. And so same with Jimmy Fallon. But what I heard behind the scenes is he's exhausted because now he's got to go out and shoot all these fucking sketches throughout the day and then do a show at 5 p.m. and then, interview the guests and do the monologue and everything else. And it's like, you get burned out. He's doing Saturday Night Live on top of his, day-to-day job when he was already on Saturday Night Live, and that was one night at the end of the week. And now he has got to do that for 5 nights in a row.
Is he back on SNL?
No.
Oh.
But I don't think he'll be able to sustain that pace of doing that many things where it's like, we need more sketches, we need more clips, we need more things. And I think it's going to get too tough, whereas guys like you who are moving ahead of the curve now and making your own shows and making things for YouTube and everything else. I mean, shit, I saw that Hot Ones got bought by Hulu. And that was on Hulu now and was like, all right, as soon as something gets cool, then they'll come and just pick it off of you. And for me personally, with your show, the guests that you had on were not only, I mean, they were famous and that'll help obviously, but they were funny in a way that I didn't expect them to be funny. So we'll take the boxing episode. Freddie Prinze Jr. was on.
And Brendan.
Brendan we know, and he's been on the show and he's great. We love Brendan Shaw. But Freddie, I didn't know, had a dry humor that was just right there beneath the surface where you're like, oh, in my opinion, it made me get the allure of Freddie Prinze Jr. We were just like, oh, he's got dark humor.
Yo, Freddie and I used to do a podcast together. Freddie is legitimately funny in such a different way than I am, because he's super dry that it always played really well. And like, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's a real normal dude. It adds to his style of humor. And on top of that, Freddie legit will fuck you up. I think he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu.
That's what I heard. I heard that.
Yeah. And a Golden Gloves boxer.
Yeah, I heard he was a boxer. I didn't know about the jiu-jitsu.
Freddie will lay hands. He will.
That's what I heard.
And dude, he's a much gentler dude now. He smokes a ton of weed.
Good for him.
But yeah. Yeah, dude, he's not to be trifled with. But such a good dude and funny. And that episode, man, he kept telling me we had to cut it down. We in between rounds, he's like, "You're not moving your head." He's just punching you right in the face. You haven't moved your head once. I'm like, I can't move my head and my hands at the same time. I'm like, he's like, "You better fucking learn real quick, because you're getting." But
everybody was funny in all the episodes. So like the axe throwing competition, there was two like redneck guys. I couldn't tell if they owned the place or they were comedians.
So Trey Crowder was a comic.
Okay.
The other guy was an actor, Michael Cudlitz. He was on The Walking Dead. He played.
I don't watch the make 'em ups like that.
Did you read watch Southland? The cop show.
Yeah.
He was in Southland.
Bull in Band of Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, all right. That's awesome.
He's a buddy of mine, and he was like, he picked a great character.
He was really funny.
Oh my God, he was so. Because people were like, "Who's that guy?" I'm like, "He's not real. He's an actor."
Yeah. I thought it was real.
Yeah. But that it was so perfect. Can I tell you my favorite part about the punishment with the waxing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, I like pulling pranks on people. So I like fucking with my brother. So the esthetician room is a tiny room. And the esthetician gets one side of the bed. And the camera guys and the audio guys get the other side. So the only open space was down at the bottom where my asshole out.
Yeah.
So I made my son, and I had called my brother earlier in the day, and I was like, "Hey, do you want a set photographer today? We need a set photographer." And he's like, "Yeah, I could use some money." So he was like, what am I shooting?" I go, "I don't know yet. We'll figure it out." So you saw how close he was to my asshole.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, "Make sure you get pictures." So he had to get close-up pictures of my butthole.
Do you get hazard duty pay for something like that?
So duty pay? Hey,
wow. Hey,
3 days later, he sent me a picture and I go, "What is that?" He goes, "That's a close up of your asshole, just in case you've never seen it before."
No way. What did you think of it?
You should buy.
I had never seen it so careless.
What did you think of it?
Beautiful.
Really? You should buy. Yeah, buy a billboard in LA during award season
and just put the asshole up
with no context.
For your consideration. Best short form.
Just
content.
For
the Emmys. Yep. Short form content is one of them.
Oh my God.
It can't be more than like $5,000 or $10,000.
It doesn't matter
like
what
now.
It is. Yeah. That's worth the joke.
Oh yeah.
Like, "Hey, have you seen,
let's think about what it should say on the board.
For your consideration, yes. Best short form. I think it's content and it's for the Emmys. Dan and I have had a couple people who were nominated for that, and it was like, but
now,
for that?
Should it be a real category, or should it be a category? Should it say something where people, it's like a joke, but also are people like, "Is that a category?"
Well, I think with your asshole, you're going to get two things, right? So if you make it serious and dramatic, they're going to think, all right, this might be about cancer. Somebody's got colon cancer.
Right.
Well, I don't think, can you tell it's an asshole?
No, that's the thing.
Yeah. So
best original screenplay?
It's going to look like the fucking Sarlacc. It's going to look like the Sarlacc pit. From
100%.
It really would look like something out of the. It really. And the fact that it's hairless, I think it really might get people a
nice charge.
Yeah. Now, when somebody figures out what it is, does it get taken down immediately?
Probably, because Clear Channel owns all those.
Billboards in LA.
So probably, but look.
It's worth it.
Fuck them.
It's worth it.
If you can just get the shot. Then one shot. Good. Yeah.
How long, let's be honest, like how long do you think it stays up before someone's like, "Is that an asshole?"
I think 30 days in LA.
I think longer because
30 really? Days in LA?
It actually, in West Hollywood, 30.
Dry.
And I think everybody's in on the joke and it's a wink, wink, and then I'll tell you
something. Wink,
other.
Wink, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I get a little
that's
wink.
You just put the word wink on there and that's the name of the movie.
Twink, wink.
Yeah. But it's.
Best short film.
You've driven around downtown LA and like.
Award season.
In the middle of summer, all those billboards are still up.
Yeah.
Because it costs too much to take them down. They wait for somebody to buy a new one. So I don't think they're going to be in a huge hurry to take it down.
This is, guys.
Unless the city gets involved.
Yeah. Do you remember that fucked up movie, The Room?
Yes.
James Franco and them made a movie about it. And that guy had a The Room billboard in L.A. It was right on La Brea and Sunset. right above that Burger King.
Yeah.
And it was there for, I think, close to 6 years. And it would say playing at Sunset 5, because that's what it was playing every single Friday night.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, they were like, oh, my God, this must cost you millions. It's the same thing that mm-hmm. Dan said. Nobody had bought the billboard for like a year. And so they just left it up because they didn't want a blank billboard up there.
Where do you think I put it up in L.A., realistically, where it stays the longest? I'm going to say either by the airport, because you know that.
Yeah.
And nobody, by the airport, nobody gives a
fuck. Nobody gives a
shit. And that's like the, you know what I mean? Nobody gives a fuck. I think anywhere like in the valley, it's coming down quick.
Yeah, probably. There's too many fucking middle-aged white women
out
there.
Yeah. But I think by the airport, I think we're in good shape. We think West Hollywood as a joke?
Or as a joke, or East LA, where they're like, oh, this is some white people's shit.
Yeah.
And we don't know what this is or care.
Right.
And then it would live there for years. Probably.
Well, how bad would Billy Eichner be if you named it Twink Wink and left it up there and it actually got more attention than his bullshit movie did?
Oh, boy.
But you know what?
He's already on the rampage.
Can I tell you what was incredibly insulting about that?
What's about the rampage
he went on?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I didn't see the movie. And I didn't miss the movie because I'm homophobic. I am 100% not homophobic.
No, your butthole tells that story.
Exactly. Yeah.
You love slavery, but you're not homophobic.
Yeah. But why? Why?
Pick your battles, obviously.
Got to.
Why isn't it an option for him to realize that he's just not a likable dude?
Yeah.
That's all it was for me.
Like
he's not a likable human.
100%.
Yeah. So I'm not going to watch your movie. It has nothing to do with you being gay or not. I've seen plenty of movies with gay guys, gay women. That stuff doesn't tell me if you're telling a good story or not.
Yeah, nobody cares.
But you yourself are one of the most annoying humans.
And that's what you built your career on too. So you can't get that out of your mind of, hey, Josh, what am I feeling? Blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, dude, that's too much.
And by the
way,
for me. He does that very well. But that does not translate into me wanting to watch that for an hour and a half.
A romantic comedy.
Yeah, it'd be like putting Gilbert Gottfried as the lead in a romantic comedy.
By the way,
and I love Gilbert Gottfried.
Great example.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Gilbert Gottfried now in a movie than before.
Because he's dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, he's dead.
Can we
Josh, why are you so butthole focused?
But that's the thing. That's a great example. One of my favorite roast guys.
The
but
best.
An hour and a half of him?
Too much.
Fuck that.
That would be rough.
Terrible.
That would be pretty rough.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wouldn't like that.
Think it over.
I'm going to think it over. I think that the billboard thing is something that is 100% go.
Or you get Jacob, make him get a tattoo of your asshole on his shoulder.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
You know we own signage out here on the highway. So 85,000 cars pass by here a day on 290. We have an open sign. Right now it's letters, and we haven't decided what we're going to put up as far as
just
the letters
go. Just put a picture of your asshole on a website with a obscure, inconspicuous name, and we'll put the website out on the thing there.
I'm going to send 3 picture options to you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want
one. We'll curate pictures of your butthole if that's what you're asking.
For sure. We'll spend hours on them.
I'll hire a team.
Listen, by the way, and I don't think we should Photoshop it. I think all natural.
Yeah, we don't do filters here.
I'm not going to put a Nashville on your asshole.
Thank you so much.
We may put like vaccinated or something on there.
Just put an I voted stamp on there.
Oh, yeah. Or buy Latinx. You know, just put that right next to it. Just in case.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'm going to send a couple of options. You guys tell me.
I will. Oh, and I'll put some like
thought into it.
Detail.
I like it. I like it. Now I wanted something else, guys.
Sure.
We're doing a second season of Tussle.
Okay.
We're gonna travel with it, but if we travel here, will you guys be judges for a show?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
We'll bring Jared too.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
We'll Hard AF Seltzer. We'll give it. We'll sponsor it. We'll do the whole thing.
That is a fucking great idea. We didn't do this with the other guys, but. We'll let you guys pick the punishment.
Oh, man.
Okay, great.
Do I want to do that?
I think you want to do that.
That seems real risky.
Yeah.
Especially if Jared gets involved.
Yeah, that exactly. seems real.
He has no, like, he doesn't care if he lives or dies.
Yeah.
No.
And you can tell based on the decisions he makes.
I think I know what it is off the top, because I don't think you guys have done it yet. But the hot sauce here in Texas, we'll go for the hottest and then put that on, because they're known for their Tex-Mex here and everything else. Yeah. We'll put that on a taco, and that way you can be real Texans. Whoever loses that can go with the hottest Texas hot sauce there is. One taco only. That way, you know, you're not eating all day.
Yeah.
But just to get that down and see your reaction on camera would be well worth it, because you'll be in tears. Somebody, either one of you will.
So I've seen people, like, somebody tried to get me to do that one chip challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck that.
Have you done that?
No, I don't.
Have you done that?
I did it with my wife on a show.
Two whites for that.
She did it a long time ago. She can handle spicy stuff. She could not handle that. She physically had to walk off set for about 15 minutes.
What about the next day? I'm more curious about how much it hurts coming out.
Blammo. I mean, that's going to be painful.
You're
going to need little butthole crushes.
But that'll test how tough my butthole is.
Sure will. Yeah. Sure will. So we'll show the before and then the after butthole pick.
And inflamed.
Correct. Yeah. And then we'll put them next to each other. And it'll probably be like a solar eclipse.
You think my asshole is going to look like a red hot Cheeto?
There'll be a ring, like a solar eclipse. You know?
I think
it'll be so bright, Trump will stare into it.
Yeah. Right now, your butthole is a global war on terror veteran, but after this, it'll be a World War II veteran.
Exactly.
The greatest generation.
Yeah. Your butthole right now is GWAT, and it's going to be Normandy at that point, where it's just like, hey.
I got to tell you, there's some things that I don't look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know things that I can take and can't take. My stomach, that one chip challenge, that's going to be a mess for me.
I'm the worst at it. So spicy food for me, there's a level that I go to. So I watch the Hot Ones show and I enjoy it. I could probably get to a 5 or a 6. I couldn't go the rest of the shit. And somebody slips, and here's how I know this. Somebody slipped a ghost pepper into sushi when I was in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I'm with my wife. We're on a normal date. Finally, you know, babysitter, kids, all that shit. I am crying at the table, and I had to ask them for milk.
Oh, no.
And they apologized because they had given me the wrong thing. And, I mean, I drank close to one of those small gallons at the table.
Did it work?
No. It didn't work.
No, you're better off using baking soda and water and swishing it around.
But I'm Pepto. Crying and everything else. And
It's capsaicin. It's a fucking oil that makes it spicy, right? So you need something powdery that will absorb stuff in your mouth to get it out.
That's not scientifically accurate. What you need to do is start screaming, "I rebuke you."
Yeah.
Until the spice.
I rebuke you.
Can I tell you something? I was laughing as I was saying it. I'm laughing, crying, and screaming. I'm crying because I'm filled with emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm screaming because I want it out of me. And I'm laughing because I'm in the middle of the worst B horror movie, and I'm living it.
Yeah.
And I'm the dude saying it.
Yeah. You're the lead actor.
Yo, if I watched a movie and someone was screaming, "I rebuke you," I'd be like, "Don't believe it. Who wrote this shit?
You know what we should
do? What is rebuke? Is that old English?"
We should have an audience challenge where you do your own "I rebuke you" scene, and then you send it to Josh Wolf on Instagram and let him enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yo, please send me your rebuke you.
Yeah, I rebuke you.
But first, take 2 grams of mushrooms and then see if you can operate.
Yeah, see what happens. Yeah.
And by the way, there was a part of in time last night. This is where I was like, after I said rebuke, I'm like, how do you spell that?
R-E-B-U-K-E.
Yeah. But then I that's what I figured. But then I was like, maybe it's like Kevin Euclid. Is that R-E-B-O-U?
O-U, yeah.
Or W-O-O-K.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, the U-K.
Rebukaki, maybe.
Yeah, Rebukaki.
Which is where you were rebuking Bukaki.
Yeah. Rebukaki?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google that on YouPorn.
I don't think
that's where it goes. It's just in reverse.
Yeah.
You kind of sound yourself with cum coming off of a woman's face.
Or you blast in the back of her head, right?
I think a Rebukaki is when you come on your own face.
Maybe. Could be.
A bunch of times in a row.
A bunch of times in a row.
You keep getting phone calls. Finally, you answered. I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm doing some Rebukaki.
Yeah.
You're rolled over, legs kicked back, and just shouting, oh, my God, I can't take this.
That's one way to tamp down the spice from the chip, too.
Sure is.
Right?
And that's science.
By the way, that science, does that work? If you jizz in your own mouth, does that help with the ghost pepper?
I think so.
He doesn't know. He's
look
wearing,
up, look go the, to WebMD.
Look at the
check that out on WebMD and see if there's a
there's you a know. Thing. By the way, you know there's a Reddit subtext.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something about I why love that internet. Works.
I've tasted my own cum, but I'm not a fag, man. I was accident, whatever, and some dude just in a fucking troll.
Well,
in a basement,
if you think about it, everybody does like their own brand, right? Like, if you fart, you don't leave the room.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, there's a couple times you walk out of there and you're just
well,
like,
you
I can't.
No. Walk out, but not. Look, man, I've gassed myself out of a room, but not before the initial curiosity of what's that
sure,
yeah.
Sure. No. But there's times where it's you're crying. It's Man in the Mirror. It's like hearing Man in the Mirror for the first time by Michael Jackson. Yeah. You're just like, oh fuck, that's deep.
When a fart comes out of your butthole and it feels like a hot razor blade just cut, you're like, oh, this is gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
I start whispering when that happens to get people to come closer.
Do you say I rebuke you?
No, I don't. You. I don't say that. I love it. So I wouldn't want to be rude to my own gas in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've taken this show as low as we could absolutely
today
take it
have.
Today. Yeah, we have.
We put a finger in a penis.
Sure did. We sounded. We rebuked. a lot. We rebuked hard.
We tussled.
Please.
We tussled.
Yeah,
we came in our own mouths.
Yeah, we came in our own mouths. Please do make a video of yourself in your dark room screaming and crying. I rebuke you.
Send it to
Josh.
Just send it to Josh Wolf Comedy
Instagram. We'll make a fucking.
please.
We'll make a compilation
of
that.
That would be amazing.
And then I'll watch it while I'm on mushrooms.
Yeah, and jerking off or no?
Well, probably.
Well,
okay.
Probably.
Towards the end. With enough high pitched shrieking, I'm going to get hard.
And I would just say, if I may, make one little pitch for people to watch Tussle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you guys are one of the best examples of this. We don't need them anymore. And when I say them,
yeah,
I mean gatekeepers. I mean people telling us what we can and can't make, what we can and can't do. And so this feels to be completely self-sufficient on this from my brain through my wallet. Everything I wanted to do is on the screen. It feels better than anything I've ever done in my entire life.
And it really is because it's, I think it's broad and it's for everyone and it's a blast. And nobody has that type of production value on YouTube because it's expensive probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are shooting high end cameras. Yeah. It's scored wall to wall.
Yep.
And the production money came right out of your wallet.
Out of my pocket.
Yeah.
So I it's the first time I also have ever been like, oh, this is what all this costs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Got it.
Sucks, right?
Well, you're like, wait, I have to pay for that? That just didn't just show up on set?
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah,
friends.
Everything.
Every single dime.
Yeah. So, but also, you know what it's like? It's like when you buy your first car. Not a car that your dad's car, your mom's car, but when you spent your fucking money on this, you take care of it in a way that you never have taken care of anything before because you understand the value of that money.
Yeah.
With this show, I understood every dime, everywhere all of it went. And on top of it, a fucking dream to work with my son, but I only hired people that I knew. Mm. I only hired people that I like. I have a very strict rule now. I won't work with assholes. I've said no to a bunch of podcasts for people I just don't like.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. I remember years ago when we did the show and Jared was trying to get you to do a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what this is. I don't know what the fucking, and he just kept hammering it over and over and over again. He's like, bro, you got to do a fucking YouTube channel. Now you have 1.55 million subscribers on your channel. I mean, it's incredible, dude.
Yeah.
And it appears as if it's changed your life.
Changed my life. I will tell you the day that I don't know if I ever told you guys this. I haven't told many people this. In 2018, I told my wife, I'm going to have to quit comedy. And she said, why? I said, well, look, after Chelsea ended, and that was some of the best times of my life, and so thankful.
Chelsea Handler.
Chelsea Handler, right? Yep. But the fans that came along with that show were her fans. Mm-hmm. And they were great, but I had to shed them. Not like, well, fuck you guys, but I had to be like, okay, I need to have my own fans because eventually these fans are going to fall off anyways because they're not my fans.
Right. Yeah.
And so my ticket sales dropped and I wasn't making the money on the road. My comedy was better than it ever been, but it just wasn't, I wasn't making the money. And I told my wife, I'm like, this is not the life I promised you. And maybe I'll have to go back to writing or doing whatever, but I have to stop doing stand-up. I'm not getting paid. But I have this hour. It's the specials on my YouTube called Father of the Year. I think it's at like 10, 11 million views right now. Mm-hmm. This was pre-Schultz, pre-Mark Norman.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're all doing it now. Ari Shaffer was here. Yeah,
Ari,
yeah.
Pre-Ari. Yeah. This here, yeah. Right? This was, I was like, this hour is the best hour I've ever done. And it was basically one long story about my son challenging me to a fight.
Mm.
That was basically the entire special. And I just told my wife, I'm like, you know what? This is the best hour I've ever done. This is the money I have left to spend on my career. All the chips are in. I just want to put it out there. And I just might, this might be it. And yo, all the chips in, that special turned my entire career around. Mm-hmm. I'm selling more tickets now than I ever have in my life at my age. Yo, I added shows this weekend at a casino.
Yeah.
But having the belief in yourself and just being like, fuck it, dude. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to listen to these fucking people anymore.
Well, they never knew what was funny. All they knew what looked good as content and also what advertisers would spend money
That's
on.
That's right.
That's what they knew.
That's
but that doesn't make the best content.
But they convinced you.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
they knew
oh,
more
work.
Than
you. It won't work.
Yeah, and then it gets in your head. And then you're like, all right, well, what the fuck?
You've done a bunch of scripted shit.
Tons.
You know that like sometimes what's on the first script, you're like, this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to your next script, you're like, what happened to the jokes? What happened to the good parts?
Yeah.
Or sometimes you shoot the movie and then you look at the script is good, felt good when you were shooting it. And then you watch it at the premiere, and you're like, oh, fuck, that sucked.
What happened to the movie?
What happened?
What happened to the show?
Yeah.
And so, as soon as I was like, fuck these people, I'm pushing all the chips in on me, it changed my entire career around.
Maybe that's who you're rebuking. You're going to go murder all the studio executives.
You're rebuking them, dude.
It's like, Son of Sam's dog giving him commands to go murder people.
What if Mickey Mouse just came right out of my fingers?
Or Jiminy Cricket up on
your
fucking
shoulder. You're rebuking the head of Comedy Central. All the D-girls who said, I don't know, this is commercial.
I don't think they have a CEO anymore, actually.
No, it's all Viacom. It's all Viacom. But speaking of Chelsea lately, all you guys have come out of there, and you've all been very successful in your own ways. So you got Heather McDonald.
Ryan, what the fuck's his name?
Whitney Cummings.
Yeah.
Shit, hold on. I gotta
look. Whitney Cummings. Lonnie Love, Joe Coy.
But all in, you guys took completely different avenues, and I find that fascinating, where it's like, what the fuck? Do you guys ever link up with Chelsea, or does she hit you up and be like, hey, dude, I saw what you're doing, and I like it, and proud of you?
Okay, so I and Chelsea and I haven't talked in years, and this isn't a hey, fuck you. Just, you know, sometimes life, right?
Sure.
And so I would say that she is still close to some people on the show or from the show, and some of us still keep in touch. But I would say the genius part, and one of the reasons that so many people are successful off of there, and a lot of it has to do with her, man. She just let us go. There was no leash on any of us. She just let us go. And it really gave us, a lot of us, just confidence just to fucking, what I mean? And but by the way, Heather
McDonald.
Crushing it.
Oh, dude. Juicy Scoop is one of the biggest podcasts there is.
Crushing it.
And she's on daily as well. Absolutely destroying it.
But Joe Coy selling out arenas.
He just had a movie come out. Easter Sunday came out.
Lonnie Love had her. She was hosting the talk. What was it? Hers called? I forget what it's called. But
talk
maybe.
Yeah.
But just big things happening, and a lot. So much of it because of her. Brad Wallach, who was on the round table, he now is part of a production company, but that started like David Spade's Lights Out, like really successful on the other side. It's been pretty crazy. I just sold a movie with another dude, a guy named Jeff Wild, who was on the show. I saw the movie. Dude, I tell you this?
No.
I sold a movie based on the true story about me taking my daughter on a road trip to get her first kiss. I didn't tell you about that? I pitched it in the room. They were like, we're going to buy that right now. And so we wrote the script. The script is fucking so good. The guy was like, keep it as authentic. He said, I don't want an Are We There Yet over the top. Give me Little Miss Sunshine.
Which is a great fucking movie.
Yes, yeah, and a great tone. He was like, give me Little Miss Sunshine. Not Are We There Yet. Not crazy huge set pieces.
Yeah.
Give me humor based in reality with heart, because that's what the story is. And we wrote it. It's so good. Fucking good.
Who'd you sell it to? You mind me asking?
Yeah, I sold it to a production company in Nashville called Hideout. They made a movie called Old Henry.
I know Old Henry. Yeah.
Okay, and so what I loved about these guys is that they are guys who have their own money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on board with the kind of stuff I'm talking about. They basically said, we're going to try to sell it, but we're not going to let anybody come in here and meddle with the story. And if they want to buy it, but they want to fuck with the story, we're making this 100% in 2023.
Certainly these assholes at the
fucking so dope.
Certainly these assholes have realized that everything they try to do fails at this point, right? Like it is a business, and they're the ones making or not making money.
I'm torn on it. And here's why I'm torn, because I think, like, take a movie like Coda, which won the Oscars last year. Children of Deaf Adults is what it stands for. It's very, very good. It set the record at Sundance for the highest buy ever. It was, I think, $13 million or $16 million, whatever it is. But somebody else had to do all the hard work and make the fucking movie, put it up on the screen, while some exec who probably passed on that fucking 8 times watched it, was like, ah, shit. Was that what they were trying to make when I got that script on my desk?
That's right.
And then they bought it. Then it wins the Oscar and everything else. Same with Little Miss Sunshine, all that other stuff. You almost have to make it first. And then everybody will be like, oh, fuck, now I get it. And so with the shows that I've shopped probably 50, 60 shows in my life. The only 5 or 6 that I sold were shot.
Yeah.
Because the people were too dumb to do it. But the only problem is, it's exactly what you're doing. It's your own credit card. It's your own production. If a light breaks, if somebody's out in the street, if the cops come, if you need a permit, it's coming out of your fucking wallet.
That's right.
And then at the end of the day, somebody will be like, oh, yeah, is that what you're fucking doing? And it's like, all right, great. We'll sell it.
You know, television is a lot. It's like everything else. Yo, the brave and the bold people are rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And so what most people in that business do their job out of fear of losing their job, which is no way to do a job. Mm-hmm. Right, you're not
certainly not a creative job, Jesus Christ.
Right, and so they're so scared that they're going to make a decision that's going to get them fired. Mm-hmm. They're so scared to greenlight something or say they like something just in case it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that they're all doing. It takes a brave person, and those people. And then what happens is they go, okay. For example, whoever was the first person who put on Ally McBeal.
Hang on, go back to Bros. Because the guy who did Bros and was a brave person who greenlit that film.
Yes, I agree.
And he's probably fired.
I agree.
Now. What about that's what I was talking about. I don't know which side it is.
But it's the risk, and I'm going to use Ally McBeal just because I'm researching it for something that I'm writing. But at the time, Ally McBeal, nobody had ever seen anything like that. A show that went in and out of drama and comedy and shot that way. Somebody had to say, okay, let's give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rewarded. Now, the 8 million other shows that came along after it, that shit the bed, those are the fucking sheep.
Yeah.
But it took that. Look, Lost, that first show, This Is Us, the way they do that, where they go back and forth, somebody had to say, okay, we're going to give that a shot. Nobody's ever shot anything like this before.
Yeah, it's not ABC plot style television writing.
And Lost was put on mid-season, so they didn't think anything of it. And it was only going to be just the 2-hour pilot. And that was kind of going to be it, right? You were going to guess what it was. Well, it exploded.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, shit, we need to turn this into
a full
series.
Well, there's also something about the first 2-season pivot that shows make that ensured, like, sometimes a bold idea gets on there and it fizzles out, like Arrested Development, for example.
Yeah.
Fox should have doubled down on that show because it was brilliant. They should have done what FX did to It's Always Sunny and doubled down, bring in another guy, bring in Danny DeVito in season 2, boost it up a little bit, and now you've got 17 fucking seasons of a live action comedy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, longest running sitcom of all time, yeah.
You know what I mean? But they didn't do that with, I don't know why. Like, you've got
Arrested Development.
You've got Jason Bateman and Will Arnett. The best cast of all time.
Genius.
Well, holy
they are.
Shit.
But yeah, the problem is all the shows you
David
like.
David Cross.
Your favorite shows that you always reference on this show are too smart for most of America.
This is
30 Rock did not do well in the ratings. Arrested Development did not do well in the ratings.
Not just didn't do well. Eight dicks.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was every year was on the verge of cancellation.
Yeah, but
because
now
you like smart writing.
But now there are tent poles on streaming services.
Correct.
Here's you know here's I mean? The difference. Like, and I for me, the difference between, say, okay, Arrested Development and my buddy is a guy named Greg Garcia. He created My Name is Earl, Raising mm-hmm. Hope.
Yep.
Yes, Dear.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A show called Sprung right now that's on Freebie.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there. Super funny. I'm on a couple episodes. So is Joey Diaz. The difference between Earl and Arrested Development. So all those characters you just mentioned, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, David Cross, mm-hmm. to the middle of the country are not relatable in the least bit. I'm not looking at people I recognize. They don't talk the way,
mm-hmm.
right? So the smart jokes don't land on me because I'm already like, I don't like these people.
And Hollywood calls them the flyover states.
So take
they don't relate right. to the flyover states.
Now take the same, I would tell you Garcia is the smartest writer I know. The difference between did you like My Name is Earl?
Yeah, it was good.
Great writing.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference was he puts people on the screen that the flyover states, they look at and they go, I know that dude. I know that dude. Yeah. He talks the way that I talk. He looks the way that I look. He lives in the same trailer I live in. He's not better than me. And now those jokes are a little more palatable.
So instead of Newport Beach, it's like somewhere in Mississippi.
He makes you visually, I'm looking at what I understand. And so Arrested Development was not that. Arrested Development basically played to two cities. Three, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York.
Yep.
But I hate all of those cities.
I know you do.
But
and all the people that live there.
But you're intellectually on that level where most people want to just watch television and put it on and be like, all right, great, what is this?
Dude, okay, for example, Yes, Dear.
Mm. I don't.
Yes, Dear was on for 6.5 years.
Which one's Yes, Dear?
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's had a Michael Malley,
fucking show.
Michael Malley, Anthony Clark, and so
it is the most generic sitcom you could possibly picture, and I don't think you'd sit through 5 minutes of it.
But 6.5 years.
Yep.
By the way, Garcia created that too with a guy named Alan Kirshenbaum, and I remember asking him, and I wrote on the show.
Now, Alan Kirshenbaum, you think Kanye West is a fan of that guy? I can't tell by the name. I'm just
He's
curious.
Playing pickup basketball yeah. Kyrie Irving tonight.
But Greg told me, he was like, we got to make sure there's at least one bit of physical comedy in every show. I'm like, why? He was like, people love it.
Yep.
People love it. And he said, if I can make you laugh three times out loud, it doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. And I know one of those is physical. And he, like I said, he writes relatable, funny, and that's it.
For Middle America?
Yeah.
Yeah. Roseanne, the Connors. The fucking Connors is still on, and it's the worst goddamn show. Like,
according to
time.
Jim, how long was According to Jim on?
Oh, I don't know. He shouldn't even still be alive,
but
to be honest. Jim Belushi should have. As soon as John went down, we should have had a meeting about, look, we got to get Jim
He's
out.
Got great weed, though. He's got great weed.
Yeah, you know that. He's a weed farmer now.
He's a weed farmer. Yeah.
He doesn't do TV anymore. He's a weed farmer.
I've actually heard he's a super nice guy.
Me too.
He's making more money off of weed than he ever did off of television.
That's what I heard, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Good for him. Well, he better steer clear of Trump because he said he needs to murder all the fucking drug dealers.
But the dumbest fucking thing anyone's ever said
out loud. Yeah. Even our fucking governor here was like, the weed, no, it's a criminal offense, and we're not going to pass that. And he's just
Do
like,
you remember how mercilessly we ridiculed the Filipino president when he was like, we're just going to start executing drug dealers?
Yes.
And the guy comes to make his, I'm running in 2024, and out of the hour, he spent 10 minutes talking about how we should execute drug dealers. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everybody on your side of the aisle mostly, especially the libertarian people, wanted, like, decriminalize everything. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know many people who are against weed at this point, like, at all.
I still know people who don't smoke it, but people who are against it, I don't know anyone
But just from a capitalist perspective, you can tax the shit out of it. So let's say you don't understand it, you don't like it, whatever. From a financial standpoint, you should look at it and be like, man, we can make a lot of money off this.
How about also, I have a friend of mine who is top cop down on the border in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I would love to not to have to worry about weed coming across the border.
Yes.
He's like, I am wasting manpower and hours for this shit when I could be doing real. Like, so if everything's legal, like they're not sneaking booze over the border because we got it.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
We have enough tequila, Mexico.
We got it. We're good. And so, like, I also, for that reason, but to be able to tax it, like, what Colorado and Washington, what they get with their schools and all that shit. Like,
it's great.
Look what we do for cigarettes. Just do the same.
Cocaine vending machine.
Oh, I love that.
Also a good name for a band.
Man. Yeah, that is. Yeah, meth sandals.
Meth sandals live on stage.
Wait, is that like a Bahamas resort where you just do meth the whole time?
All inclusive?
All inclusive.
Except no dental. No dental.
No, it just it comes with meth and cleaning supplies.
Exactly.
And you just go. You just clean the fucking entire sandals.
Calvin
place.
Tank tops where he's pissing on people.
If you murder somebody, you can use the cleaning supplies to clean up the mess.
Exactly. Actually. And then you're good to go.
This is better than Florida. Actually, I think what you're describing is Florida.
It's Florida, yeah.
Did you see the documentary? Was it on HBO? Was it called Armageddon? What was it called? They had this big conference in Mexico every year. I think it was called Armageddon.
I want to do a biopic on the drummer from Def Leppard named Armageddon. And I just want to see how it got chopped off.
But call it Armageddon. Yeah. G-E-T-T-I-N. No.
What was it about?
It's about because Armageddon's not that, but it's about a group of people who don't believe there should be any rules. They don't want to live in the States anymore. They live in Mexico because...
The anarchists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what's it called?
The anarchists. Yes. Is it relatively new?
The documentary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Super. Anarchgeddon, I think as it was called, is what the festival is called.
Okay.
And you just go down, you just went down, and it was just a bunch of people who just don't believe, they don't want any more rules. And then somebody got killed at the festival.
Wow. I think we knew the ending, Josh. No spoilers here, but we knew that ending.
Yeah. When that happened, I was like, that's not a shocker.
No.
No.
Now, people look at rules and think of them as some kind of systemic oppression, but what it really is the weight of human existence is so much that we all have to kind of do our part to keep it all from falling apart.
A narcopulco.
Narcopulco, that's what it was called.
Or Porloco or something, yeah. It's in the chat, everybody's saying it, everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
And at the end, somebody dies.
Somebody definitely dies.
It's an Acapulco, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, a narco?
the guy who started the weekend, the head hunt, is a fascinating narcissist in the weirdest fucking way. But he and this, I love watching two dudes who can't fight each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's maybe my favorite scene of the entire is just these two dudes just swinging over the head wild.
Like Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
We'll pop it on tonight. I got to watch this.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Now,
if you're into docs, there's one on Netflix that you should watch. It's Ancient Apocalypse.
Okay.
It's what's his name? Fuck. Hang on. Let me look it up. It's on. It's really good.
While you do that, we'll get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today.
Graham Hancock.
Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Now, listen, besides, I'm not rebuking anybody. In this,
sure.
Right?
No, you don't have to. You can love them or you can rebuke them. You can say somebody you hate.
Yeah.
Somebody I don't want to drink
with. We've never done that before.
We've never had somebody who was like, you know who I don't want to drink with? Is that motherfucker right there? I rebuke him.
Cunt of the week.
Yeah,
can
rebuke him.
Can I tell you? Honestly, this is going to sound cheesy as fuck.
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
Do you know how I want to have a drink with this week?
Who?
The new me. Whoever this dude is who woke
this
up last night.
This is very Matthew McConaughey of you.
Dude, yeah.
Whoever woke up last night, like I feel, I'm a little all over the place today, guys, because I feel different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm so curious in a month or a week or a day, but it feels new right now. That's why, like, if you see me like pausing and thinking a lot, like I'm having new, it's like a pat, something opened up. Yeah. So I'm going to say new Josh.
New Josh, sure.
And we'll see what the fuck happens.
Go get yourself a nice bottle of booze, right? And
no sounding?
Well, I'm not done yet.
Optional. Okay.
Some nice water-based lubricant. Okay. Obviously, you don't want to make a mess.
Right.
And then, you know, whatever you like to put inside you. Mm-hmm. And just have a nice quiet evening. Maybe some candles, but don't put those inside you.
Josh time.
The paraffin's not good for you, but light some candles. No seance bullshit, because we're past that.
Yeah. But what if I put the candle in my dick and then
light it? Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
You can do that.
That way, if you fall asleep, it's definitely going to wake you up.
Yeah,
at sure some will. Point.
Sure will.
Yeah, okay.
It won't burn down the room. Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, I just don't understand how you stay hard in that.
Well, there's some mysteries out there.
Maybe
Josh,
we should do a documentary about that.
Yeah.
We'll get a bunch of sounders.
By the
we'll
way,
call it that.
Documentary. It could be, I mean, it's really a double entendre there.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Documentary about docking.
Or our sounding fathers. And it's the first people who came up with sounding. And then we find these guys. Because there's somebody that discovered it, and we just don't know who it is.
The Seattle Sounders. That's their
That would be amazing if that was their mascot. Just a dick with something sticking
right
out
here,
of it.
Right here, dude.
I'm sure somebody in the audience can make that happen.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Josh, where are you at tonight?
I am, guys. I'm at Mohegan Sun this weekend in Connecticut. We added a show. Everything else is sold out. And then I take a week off, and then I'm at Caesars in Vegas, first week in December.
Perfect. And watch Family Tussle.
Please.
It is lights out. 7 episodes, I believe, so far.
Yeah.
First season done.
We're picking up to 2023.
Okay.
The episodes are interesting.
Awesome. We'll come here. We'll judge. We'd love to be a part of it.
Fuck yeah.
Super proud of you, man. It's
thanks,
awesome.
Dude. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah,
always,
sure.
Thank you so much.
Always, dude. You're doing your best work right now, dude. And it's awesome to see.
Thanks, man.
For real. For D'Anthony Holloway, Josh Wolf, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.